This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهديه الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. All praise and glory be to Allah. We thank Him and we seek His help and His guidance and His pleasure and His forgiveness. And we testify that no one is worthy of our worship and our devotion and our love and obedience in the absolute sense but Allah and Allah alone. Without any partners, the true supreme king, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was his prophet and his servant and his messenger. And the best of his creation and the seal of his revelation and the most beloved of the slaves of Allah to Allah. O servants of Allah who have believed in Allah, keep hold to the taqwa of Allah as best as you can. For as long as you possibly can throughout your days and your nights. Until our days and our nights in this world have concluded and we collect the reward of taqwa, which is the company of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the true life, the life to come. To begin, after welcoming my brothers and sisters to the house of Allah azza wa jal, not just with the tragic events this week in Beirut, but just week in and week out, and the fact that bad news sells and information technology has accelerated the circulation of news, more and more people are becoming very, very frustrated by the amount of chaos, the amount of evil that they feel is ever increasing in the world, to the point that many of them cannot even get themselves to notice that there's any good left in the world, there's any order left in the world, there's any hope left in the world. And they walk thinking, why is the world all messed up? Why is there so much chaos? And interestingly, this sentiment has been growing even before mass media, even before social media. You know, atheists who disbelieve in God altogether, especially in the Western world, the most common reason for many leading atheists, they call it their main and sole reason for not believing in God, is the fact that there's evil in the world. And in a recent study, they asked swaths of Americans from all different backgrounds, if you could ask God one question, and you knew that you would get an answer, what would that question be? And the number one question was, why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? It has obstructed their ability to see the world through any other lens, this dominant sentiment that the world is just so messed up. Why did God, if there is a God, let it happen this way? First and foremost, we need to say, is the world entirely messed up? Is it all messed up? I mean, if there was no God, then it would be expected, first of all, for the world to be messed up. But what do we see the world as in reality? If we were to sit there and analyze carefully, objectively, think for ourselves, what is more common, for a person to go through health in their life or to go through sickness? The vast majority of humanity today and forever have been healthier for longer than they've been sick. How many moments do your arteries flow freely compared to the moments that they clog, right? What is the percentage of fully functional human beings compared to the human beings that are impaired in one way or another? Even if you look at nations, what is the percentage of nations that thrive and enjoy peace and enjoy prosperity versus, for example, a meteor strike that ends them all or a volcanic eruption that, by the way, resets and restores the ecosystem for the greater good anyway? And so if you are to think fairly and honestly, there is far more good in the world than there is evil. First and foremost. And that tells us two very important things. One of them we just said, that there must be a God. You know, interestingly, though the khutbah is not usually the best place for this, they call this in physics the second rule of thermodynamics, the rule of entropy. Basically, scientists say that when there is a system, any system, and the parts inside this system, this isolated system, are just interacting randomly. There's a random system, which is what atheists claim the world is the product of, just a random explosion, right? Physics-wise, any random system will continue falling into greater and greater chaos irreversibly. You can't stop it. So the fact that our world does not fall apart, it is still fully functional, hugely functional, life is sustainable in this universe, means what? What's happening is not random. There is someone outside the system that is all powerful, that is all wise, that with great wisdom manages our system, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is of the greatest proofs that there must be a creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala. A wise agent, just look all around you. What keeps it this way? That's the first benefit you get from realizing that there is more good than evil. Good is the norm. The first thing you get from that is the question, why is there more good? How could there be more good just randomly like this? Why don't things spiral out of control the way they would if nothing was controlling them? The way physics proves time and time again when they're left to themselves. The second benefit you get from realizing that there is greater good than there is evil in the world is the fact that you understanding good as the norm, as the prevalent norm, once you've decided this is the majority of matters, it is good, it is stable, it is productive, it is life-sustaining, then you move on and say, okay, now how am I supposed to understand the exception? How come these fewer things are not going very well? Unless you understand what is the norm, you cannot begin to grasp the exception. And I'll give you a very simplistic example. If you were to enter some high-tech palace, some high-tech mansion of one of the wealthiest people on earth, and you saw in their luxuries you could not understand, right? Couches that mechanically move in a certain way, and screens and holograms that do certain things you've never seen before. Every single room of the thousands of rooms in this mansion are impressive to you. You can't even understand the systems that are involved here. You become certain, one room after another, that the engineers, that the technologists, that the people behind this palace are people that are truly sophisticated, people truly wise. And so then when you find a room that looks like it's in ruins, you say, wait a minute, there's something off here. You don't say that the engineer is a lunatic, the engineer is uneducated. What do you say? There's something I'm missing here. Because look at the whole room. Look at the whole house. Look at the whole mansion. There must be a wisdom, considering all of the wisdom involved everywhere else, there must be a wisdom to the exception. Maybe he ran out of money and the engineer didn't do this room, he quit his job. Maybe he wanted to remember that as a child he wasn't this rich and he wanted a little room that looked like his old village, right? Mud in the sand. Maybe, but it's definitely not the fact that there's no sophistication here. Likewise, we see the world and are reflecting on Allah's creation. We're commanded to do that, so we understand Allah must be wise, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so if there's an exception to the prevalent good, there must be a wisdom behind it. Because Allah for sure is behind this all. Why do you think we have to read Surah Al-Kahf every single Friday, or at least we're encouraged to do so as Muslims? Because the stories we find, among the reasons, the stories we find in Surah Al-Kahf are the stories that are repeated throughout human history. And so we take from them what we need to engage life. The same way life and the events of life repeat themselves, thus we are to repeat surah like these so that we never lose sight of the proper frame of reference, the proper perspective. And one of the four major stories in Surah Al-Kahf is the story of Musa alayhi salam and Al-Khadr, Musa alayhi salam kept objecting to what he saw were evils and realized later there was a bigger factor at play here. There was a bigger wisdom behind me here. Why are you ruining the ship? It's actually for the greater good of the owners of the ship that it doesn't get abducted by those who are looking for good ships. So a temporary harm is sustainable for the greater good. Why did you kill that young boy? Not that the greater good is in actively killing an innocent child, but because it was a command from God for a child to die, there was greater good in that child not growing up to disbelieve in Allah, and there was greater good for his parents through that pain, they were able to retain their relationship with Allah. So Allah Azza wa Jal gave us examples here so that we can use from what we know that which would give us confidence to rest assured about the 1,000 other incidents of apparent evil that we don't know. This is not to say evil doesn't exist. One of the wisdoms that we will, perhaps if Allah allows, next week discuss some of the wisdoms Allah gave us to help us navigate life's difficulties, life's chaos. The wisdoms for evil existing, we are told, the primary wisdoms. But we need to realize that resigning to Allah's wisdom when we see evil, to see it that it's relative, to see it that it's for the greater good, that there's no such thing as pure, only reckless, only destructive, unwise, pointless evil does not exist in Allah's universe. How to convince yourself of that is a huge project. It's a big deal. Allah gave us helpers to do that, but at the end of the day, it's part of the test of our faith. To realize that I just can't tell. Because if Allah is testing us in this life, what test is there when you are already given the answers, the explanations to the exam questions? There have to be things that are unclear, or else how is it a test? As one of the scholars said, it is a huge task to fight off shaitan. It's a lifelong task. And to accept to be the ant on the carpet. Have you ever imagined an ant walking on a carpet that's designed very nice, like many of your rugs? If an ant is on the carpet, it sees chaos. It sees a blue strand going this way and a gold strand going that way. It has no idea what's going on. It's just walking because it's so close. It's so involved in the mess. So this jungle of colors looks like chaos. But if the ant were able to step up and step back, it would see a masterpiece. It would see a work of art. So to accept for yourself that you, compared to God, are less than an ant compared to a carpet maker. That's the real test here. Allah Azza wa Jal said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. Among humanity are those who worship God on edge, meaning conditionally. If good happens to them, they are reassured by that. And if evil happens to them, they turn their back. انقلب على وجهه خسر الدنيا والآخرة. He turns away, he objects to God. That is the reality. People are not actually able to produce an intellectual argument to say evil equals God doesn't exist. Those have nothing to do with each other. Evil could exist alongside God because God is wise. And that's the end of this. But to accept that God is wiser than you and to not feel that you have the right to have the explanation to everything, that is part of the test. Aren't we put in this world to be tested? آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات. To believe and work. The test is not just a test of your behavior. The test is also a test of what? Your faith. And then Allah tells us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Qur'an, that the angels, who are the most intellectual creatures, felt and accepted and found it satisfying when they asked about evil for Allah to tell them, I know and you don't. That's enough of an answer. But to have the humility to do that, that is the accomplishment. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Remember when your Lord said to the angels, I'm placing a successor on the earth. They will reproduce and have successive generations. They said, you're going to place in there, مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا, someone who's going to corrupt the earth, make it chaotic, وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ, and spill blood. وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. We praise your glory and we celebrate your praises. قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. He said, I know what you don't know. For that to be enough of an answer is only for the believer. May Allah Azza wa Jalla grant us and you faith and belief that is true. Allahumma ameen. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. If Allah Azza wa Jal permits for us the length of life, we will, inshallah, speak about the five main reasons Allah tells us about in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of why evil may exist, why what we perceive as evil, what frustrates and bothers us in our lifespans would exist. But what you need to remember as we close the khutbah now, that your job, your fight, is the fight to retain recognition that Allah is the most wise, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Him being the most wise means that He would never allow something to exist in His creation without there being a wisdom behind it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that also means that He created you to examine you, and so He cannot tell you the specific wisdoms and answer for you all the questions on wisdom while the examination is still taking place. And then to know that Allah gave you enough pointers, enough broad strokes on the main reasons, the main wisdoms for why these exist, because He is the most wise and He knows you need that. He knows you need that help. He knows out of His mercy also that you need to be given something to keep you patient and to satisfy your curiosity on one level and to remind you that you are not a god. And so you only see the pixel. You can't see the picture. And that you by your nature will always have blind spots. And so you are given closure in that. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us knowledge that will benefit us and grant us vision and insight to see through the trials of this world. May Allah Azza wa Jal have mercy on all those who have been killed this week in Beirut and elsewhere. May Allah Azza wa Jal be with all of those who are struggling due to COVID or otherwise. May Allah Azza wa Jal have mercy on our dead. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala forgive our parents. May Allah Azza wa Jal elevate them because of us. May Allah Azza wa Jal guide for us our children from every illness, be it physical or mental or spiritual. Allahumma ameen. Allahumma aghfir lana warhamna wa jannibna al-fitana ma zahara minha wa ma batan. Allahumma jannibna al-fitana ma zahara minha wa ma batan. Allahumma jannibna al-fitana ma zahara minha wa ma batan. Allahumma inna nas'aluka sidqa at-tawakkul 'alayk wa husna adh-dhanni bik. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min 'ilmin la yanfa' wa qalbin la yakhsha' wa nafsin la tashba' wa du'a'in la yustajabu lah. اللهم ارحم موتانا موتى المسلمين اللهم افرغ صبرا على الجرحى وعلى على اهل المآسي في كل بلاد المسلمين اللهم اشفنا واشف مرضانا وارزقنا وانت خير الرازقين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين